Well, I wonder if you've ever gone on a car journey and you've a couple of kids in the back seat and you think you're going well and you've got a packet of sweets and you've got some drinks and you think everything's going swimmingly, and then that dreaded question comes from the back or possibly from the passenger seat. Are we there yet? And you think we've only just left Bangor and it's a long way to go. Sometimes the question keeps on coming in the journey as well, and you sometimes bluff the answer and say, well, we're getting there. We're nearly there, just a little while longer. And as we've gone through the book of Acts here at Hamilton Road Baptist, maybe some of you have been asking that question as well. Are we there yet? Are we at the end of the book of Acts? Because would you believe we began Acts chapter 1 back in September 2016? And we had 27 talks from Acts chapter 1 till 11. And then we took a bit of a break from Acts and we came back to it in April 2023 and we had a further 24 sermons. Our first series was called The Unstoppable Gospel, as we've seen it go from Judea in, or from Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria. And then in the second series has been called Salvation to the Ends of the Earth, as we see this unstoppable gospel go out to the ends of the earth. So today I bring you sermon number 42 and final in the book of Acts. And as I say in the car, in just a few more minutes we will be there. And that answer, as I say in the car, usually equates with about half an hour to go. So I have combined the two series together to give us today's sermon, The Unstoppable Gospel Brings Salvation. The Unstoppable Gospel Brings Salvation. Because as you have read through Acts, if you're familiar in any way, Acts 1, verse 8 gives us an overview of where the book is going to go. Luke says that Jesus says to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And then as we go through Acts in chapter 2 to 7, we see that being fulfilled. In Jerusalem, chapters 2 to 7, there is great evangelistic outreach, and the disciples are God's witnesses. And then in chapters 8 through to 12, the focus is on Judea and Samaria as more people hear the good news of the risen Lord Jesus. And then in chapter 13 to the end, it's really going to the ends of the earth. And then this final section of Acts, the focus sharpens, and Paul is very keen to get to Rome in Acts 19, verse 11, says, I must visit Rome. He really wanted to get to that great eternal city, the capital city of the Roman Empire. And then God gave him this promise in Acts chapter 23. It says, the following night the Lord stood to Paul and said, take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. And so the question begins in this latter end of the book of Acts. Are we in Rome yet? Is Paul ever going to get there? There's trials and tribulations, diversions, shipwrecks, blockages. And the good news this morning, as we drop into Acts 28, is that we can say we have got there. Paul has got to Rome. In verse 14, as Chris read, it says, and we came to Rome. And this leads us to bring our first point today. As we think about this unstoppable gospel that brings salvation, I want us to think about how the unstoppable gospel brings salvation to the nations. The unstoppable gospel brings salvation to all nations. Verse 14 says, and we came to Rome. Because as the gospel began in Jerusalem, it was a small group of believers hidden away in an upper room, afraid of what was going to happen after the death of Christ. And then as the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they then go out in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and then through Asia Minor, into Europe, and now to Rome, that great capital city, which is then going to be a gateway to the rest of Europe and to the ends of the earth. This is a magnificent achievement from a group of 11 followers in that upper room. And possibly you're just joined us today and you haven't really heard a lot about Acts, and you're saying, well, Keith, how did it go from a group of 11 guys in an upper room and a few other believers outside to suddenly it's gone right across the known world at the time? Well, I've got six P's that will sort of help to frame how the gospel showed itself to be unstoppable in bringing salvation to all nations. Firstly, it happens through people. It happens through people like Paul. It happens through people like Mary and Martha. It happens through people like Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife. It happens through people like Peter and John. It happens through people like Barnabas and Encourager. It happens through people like Phoebe. It happens through people like Timothy. It happens through people who are just unknown and we don't know their names. It happens through individuals, but really it happens through people as a church, as they go together to reach out and to bring the gospel to the all nations. And as you read through Acts, you've seen just name after name after name, that as this unstoppable gospel goes to all nations. How does it get there? It goes through people, but also goes through persecution. Paul, who was once a persecutor of the church and was gloriously converted, but then persecution comes in chapter 13, 2. Paul, as he is driven out of Antioch, in chapter 14, he is nearly stoned to death. In chapter 16, he is flogged and put in prison in Philippi. In chapter 17, he's chased out of every town he goes to. In chapter 19, he causes a full-scale riot in the town. And now, in these recent chapters, he's been on trial after trial, Roman court, Jewish court, different sorts of court systems. He's seen the emperor, he's seen Felix, he's seen whoever there is to see. The gospel, as it advances, it is unstoppable, but it does go through persecution and also goes through prayers. Paul wrote to the church in Rome on his way there, saying that he prayed a lot for the church at Rome in chapter 15 of Romans. Paul writes to the church there that they were praying that he would be able to get there to him. In 8 of the letters Paul writes to churches around the provinces, he asks them to pray for him and to pray for the work that he is doing. Philippians 1, as he writes here, says, and he prays that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers. Paul knew that the church in Philippi was praying for him and says that as you pray, this will turn out for my deliverance. As we look back into Acts, I wonder, can you remember Acts 13 and 14? And that prayer time as a group of believers gathered around to send Paul out. Here's what John Piper said about this prayer and fasting from the early church. This moment of prayer and fasting resulted in a missions movement that would make Christianity the dominant religion of the Roman Empire within 2.5 centuries, would yield 1.3 billion adherents to the Christian religion today, with a Christian witness in virtually every country of the world. God's mission works through prayer. It's never only a prayer meeting. This is the engine room of the church to go out into the world. God brings the unstoppable gospel through people, through persecution, through prayer, but also through pounds. It costs money to go. It costs money to live. And to go on mission journeys wasn't free for Paul. He had to work as a tent maker alongside so that he was then freed up to share the gospel as well. And I know they didn't use pounds in those days, but it's another P. But he also wrote to the church at Philippi, and here's what he says to them. The Philippian church was the church that supported Paul financially to enable him to be freed up as well. Even in Rome here, Paul had to pay rent on his house. It actually tells us that in the text. So either Paul has earned that or Paul has been given that to pay for his rent here in Rome. It takes money for the gospel to go to the ends of the earth, or passage west, him it costs for them to go. But it also goes through power. Power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, all the emphasis is on wait. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because you will receive power. And from that crowd, cowardly away in the upper room, fearful of what is to come, they're then bold and dynamic and fearless as they go into the highways and byways declaring the goodness and the grace of the Lord Jesus. Because if there's no power from the Holy Spirit, Acts would have been a very short book. We need power to take the gospel. As the team goes to Passage West, they need power from the Holy Spirit. And finally, through providence. How many times has Paul rescued from a pretty precarious situation? God's protection of him in the storms, even in this journey to Rome. Acts 16 actually says, well, the Spirit would not allow Paul to go one way, wouldn't allow him to go the other way, so he had to go a third way. God was guiding Paul all along. Providence is a beautiful thing, but it's often only seen in the rearview mirror of our life's journeys. So what does all this mean to us? Well, as I think about the unstoppable gospel going to all nations, as we give thanks to God that it has even come to our island of Ireland through those who came before Patrick, and then through Patrick, and then those who came after. As we think of the gospel has been unstoppable and going to countries like China, the former Soviet Union, Afghanistan, North Korea, the gospel has gone and penetrated all of these countries. It is unstoppable. The gospel will go to the ends of the earth. And the gospel continues to spread when people don't give it a lot of hope of doing so. Because the Jews tried to stop the gospel and they couldn't. Romans tried to stop the gospel and they couldn't. Gentiles tried to stop the gospel and they couldn't. Satan tried to stop the gospel and he couldn't. And today secularism is going to try to stop the gospel, but it can't. Putin, Kim Jong-un, world leaders are going to try to stop the gospel, but they can't. Islamic governments are going to try to stop the gospel, but they can't either. And your boss, your friends, your neighbors will maybe try to stop the gospel as well, but they can't either. The gospel is unstoppable, and it will go to all nations. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in where? The whole world, as a testimony to all nations. And how does God do it? Through those six P's we've already talked about. But as we think about the gospel going to all nations, it also goes to all peoples in those nations as well. What does Paul do here in our text as he gets to Rome? Well, in verse 17, it says, 3 days later, he called together the Jewish leaders. Paul, as he arrives in the room, does what he does as he arrives into every other town or city that he goes to. He goes to the Jews first. He's often gone to the Sanhedrin or gone to the public squares to preach the gospel and to share with the Jews. So here in Rome, what does he do? He can't leave. He's under house arrest. So he calls the Jewish leaders to come to him. Why? Because he believes, as he says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greeks. Even though the Jews hated Paul, even though they tortured him, he still loved them. He still calls them brothers in this passage. They are still his people. He is of Jewish heritage. And so in Rome under house arrest, he basically just takes 3 days to recover from a half-year arduous journey at sea and shipwreck and all that has gone on, and then calls the Jewish leaders in. He doesn't want another uprising against him. He wants to explain his situation to them. He wants to tell them how he has got there. But more than that, he wants to tell them about Jesus. He wants to tell them about the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does that there in verse 23. They arrange to see Paul on a certain day, And they came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. And he witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God from the law of Moses and the prophets. And he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Paul is willing to give them as much time as they need to grasp that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the one prophesied from Genesis 3 onwards, foretold in the prophets and then coming in the Lord Jesus Christ that we've been hearing about this morning. This just oozes out of Paul. It transformed his life, God's kingdom, and his rule in people's lives through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Herod isn't the true king. Pilate isn't the true king. Caesar isn't the true king. Nero isn't the true king. No, Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He was foretold in the law of Moses and the prophets. And he explains to people, anyone who will listen, he has patience with them so that they can grasp it. And you ask him, well, Keith, what was the result of all of Paul's witnessing and evangelism? Well, in verse 24 here, we see it. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe it. Take courage this morning, folks at Hamilton Road Baptist, as we seek to share our faith with our friends and family and our town around us. Sometimes people will just not listen to us, but some will believe. Paul, as he explained with his great mind, with his great personal testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, even with that, some people didn't believe. Be encouraged, continue on. Consider the parable of the sower, a 25% success rate. And the Bible says that wide is the road to destruction and narrow is the way to life. Sometimes the people, like the Jewish people, are so privileged and knowing so much about God, and yet they can be the hardest to reach. And that's why we keep praying. We keep praying that Jews would believe. We keep praying that Gentile friends and family would believe. And here's the good news for us as well, because the gospel, as some Jews believe, lots don't. Paul goes on and verse 28 to say, therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles and they will listen. And that's really good news for us today, because the majority of us here, if not all of us, are Gentiles. The gospel is not just going to go to all nations and convert some of the Jews in those countries. No, it's going to go to all nations and it's going to convert Jew and Gentile in each of those countries. People from all people groups will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, even people in Ireland like you and like me. We have been grafted in. And yet the question again is, well, how does the gospel get to all peoples? Well, it's the same P's again. It goes through people, persecution, prayer, pounds, power, and providence. Peter mainly shared to the Jews, Paul, another person shared to the Gentiles through persecution, through prayer. We don't just pray for countries. No, we pray for people in those countries. Yes, we're praying for Norway today, but we also pray for the people of Norway and the refugees and asylum seekers who are there, praying that the gospel would not just go to Norway, but go to these people's hearts in Norway. Prayers, pounds with texts, money to get to these countries and to share with people. And we're always relying on the power of the Holy Spirit in our evangelism. It's not our great arguments. It's not our testimonies. No, it's the power of God that opens blind eyes. It's the power of God that causes the dead to raise the spiritual life. And ultimately, it's the providence of God. Because it was God's plan all along to bring the gospel, not just to every nation, but as he promised through Abraham and his descendants, that Christ will come and be a blessing to all the nations. And here we see Genesis 11 being fulfilled. And as Jesus sends his disciples out in Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, that's really the word there, is to all people groups within the nations. It's the Jews and the Gentiles and the tens of thousands of people groups sort of coming out of the Gentile overview, because it's God's will that none should perish. And in his providence, as we look ahead to the end of the story, Revelation 7, 9, it says there will be a great multitude around the throne. From where? From every nation, tribe, people, and language. So as we think through some of the application for us today, I guess the question is, are we going to be some of the people that God uses? Are we going to pray some of the prayers that God uses? Are we going to give some of the pounds that God uses? Are we going to go through the persecution that comes our way? Are we going to wait on the power of the Holy Spirit that God will use to bring salvation to every tribe, tongue, and nation, to the ends of the earth? There are 7,400 people groups who remain unreached in the world today. That is where less than 2% of the population is following the way of Jesus. And that means that 40% of the world's population do not know a Christian, do not have somebody to tell them about Jesus on their coffee break or on their way home or in their town. 3,000 of these people groups are totally unengaged. No missionaries, no outreach, no church, no Christian materials, no known church planting efforts, and very few of any Bibles. Consider the 135 million Sikh of Bangladesh, the 59 million Brahmin of India, the 58 million Yadav of India, the 37 million unreached in Java Pasir Lur of Indonesia, or consider the 72 towns in Ireland who have 5,000 or more people who have no gospel witnessing church. This is not out there in all these foreign lands. This is also in our island of Ireland. Consider your co-worker, neighbor, friend, parent of your kids' friends. They need to hear the good news of Jesus. This is why, as a church, we invest about a third of what is given to us to give away, to tell others about Jesus in missions overseas or locally or through children's and youth work here in our town. That's why we want to upgrade the equipment that we have so that as we go out into the air waves and as our services are proclaimed online, so people can clearly see and hear the difference that God has made in our lives. This is why Stuart Burnham and Sam Urey have been just recently added to our missions family. And this is why we're not content with that. We want to see more young people and old people added to that to go to the ends of the earth with the gospel. That's why we keep banging on about gathering, growing, and going. That's why it doesn't end at gather and grow. No, it must be gather, grow, and go. This is why we refuse to be a church that is a cruise liner that will just suit all of our preferences rather than a lifeboat. This is why we continue to preach the gospel. This is why we urge you to tell your friends to come and see the difference that Jesus can have in their lives. This is why we are prepared to be uncomfortable. This is why we are prepared to squeeze up. Why? Because those without Christ go to hell. And we've got the greatest news in the world to tell them. And how will they know unless they have heard? But how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Friends, you can have beautiful feet this week if you bring good news. As you say your prayers, as you pray, as you give, as you go. Because the gospel is for all peoples. Jew and Gentile, Catholic and Protestant, British and Irish, Hindu and Muslim, atheist and agnostic. Many of the people that we share will not believe, but here's the great news, and it's glorious that some will, and we'll see them on that day around the throne as we declare the glory of God. Are we there yet? No, it's a little further. The unstoppable gospel goes to all nations, it goes to all peoples, and finally, it goes to all generations. in verses 28 to 30. Let's read about Paul's final 2 years here in Rome. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came in to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Paul spends 2 years in his rented accommodation, telling under house arrest with a soldier chained to him at all times, telling people about the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it shows the book ends in that he does it with all boldness and without hindrance. That's where it ends in. Nothing can hinder this gospel. That's why it is the unstoppable gospel. And during these 4 years, he wrote 4 great letters rich in theology under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pointing us to Christ. He wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. He was shown the supremacy of Christ in all in these writings. As he'd been shaped and molded throughout his years, he's then writing these wonderful letters that we have today. He probably knew he would never see some of these churches that he was writing to again. He isn't sure whether he's going to get out of house arrest. He isn't sure what is going to happen, but he wants to spur these churches on to keep on going on with God. It is likely and thought in church history that Paul did get released and then he went to Spain with the gospel before being arrested again under house arrest and then finally his martyrdom in AD 65 or so. And during his final arrest, he then went on to write 1 and 2 Timothy as well, because Paul knew he wasn't going to be able to get to some of the cities that he wanted to get to, but he also knew where he was never going to go. He was never going to get to the future generations. He knew his time was coming to an end. He wrote that in his book. So what does he do? He invests in young leaders. He invests in telling others the great gospel. And in writing 1 and 2 Timothy, he writes to his son, his child in the Lord, clearly handing the baton onto him and say, "Right, Timothy, I've run the race. I fought the fight. It's over to you and to others." Just as Paul is proclaiming here with all boldness and without hindrance, so he then encourages Timothy to go and to do the same. And as we have the privilege of reading God's word handed down to us, we also see Paul's writing and see him encouraging generation after generation of Christians and church leaders through his writings to continue to fight the good fight, to continue to preach Christ and to continue not to give up in doing good. The unstoppable gospel brings salvation to all generations, and Paul wanted to be part of it. How does it happen? It happens through people. It happens through prayers. It happens through pounds. It happens through persecution. It happens through power. And happens through providence. And here, 2,000 years later, we have the gospel handed down to us. But I wonder, did you see how abruptly the book of Acts ends? After 28 chapters of such detail, the book is left wide open and ends in those words, without hindrance. There are loose strands everywhere, and you're left wondering, well, what happened next? What happens to Paul? What happens with the gospel going to the ends of the earth? And this is the genius of this divinely inspired book, is that it does actually continue down through all generations until us today, and the baton has been handed on to us, and now we are carrying on the story of redemption, of the unstoppable gospel going to all nations, all peoples, and all generations, and we have our part to play in it, because God buries his workers, but his gospel will never be buried. So I've got a few things in closing for us to consider today. Wonder how are we doing at investing and passing the gospel on to the next generation. And possibly even if you're here today and if you feel as though you're in your final lap of life, can I encourage you to say that you have so much to give. You have seen and proved God over the years. You have seen his providence and provision for you. Can I encourage you to share that story of what God has done in your lives and the love of Christ with other people around you, especially the younger people in the church, so that they can go to their generation fueled and standing on the shoulders of yourselves. As a church, what is our obligation of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth? Our obligation to take the gospel to generations that will follow us, because in 50 years' time, I'm not going to be around. Johnny's not going to be around. Chris may be around, but it'll be he'll be past it, possibly. But who are we going to leave? Who are we going to train as a church to take the gospel to 20, 50, 20, 70, 2100, if the Lord hasn't come back then? It's going to take people. It's going to take pounds. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take power. There's going to be persecution, but we will know God's providence in it all. A wonderful opportunity as a church, as God has blessed us, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, but also to pass it on to generations to come. And finally, as we come to the end of the series on Acts, the unstoppable gospel that brings salvation. Over the last half year, over the last 6 years, I wonder, has it brought salvation to your heart? Has the unstoppable gospel come to you? Have you allowed it in? Have you allowed Christ to transform you from the inside out? Has the gospel advanced in your heart? Has the gospel advanced in our church recently? Has the gospel advanced in Bangor? Has the gospel advanced through the UK and Ireland? We pray that the best days of Hamilton Road Baptist, the best days of the gospel going to the ends of the earth and generations will be ahead of us. Because here is the promise. So God will continue to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we will get there. Are we there yet? No. There's a bit further. But come on. Keep traveling along. We will get there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It's so well written and recorded for us. We pray as we've taken this whistle-stop tour back through the book of Acts and considered our response to it. Father, we pray that we would hear your voice to us individually and collectively. And even, Father, as we sing these closing two songs together, that you would speak to us very clearly and to show us what you would have for each of us in these days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.